like to start tonight by saying how fortunate we are to have youth that will lead songs and lead prayer and wait on the Lord's table. We are very fortunate to have them because we realize that without that, the church here at Mount Zion would have no future. But more importantly, I am speaking tonight, and I realize that you guys are probably here to hear me, and that's really good because I'm going to give you a great lesson. But more importantly, we are glad that you're here tonight, and we're glad that you're here to worship our Lord. Tonight's sermon that I put together, I racked my brain. I tried to put something together that would just be profound and something that you probably had never heard, something new, something that would make you leave tonight thinking that was just great. However, when I started thinking about that, I couldn't really come across anything new, so that left me with two reasons. One being, David's a really good preacher and he's covered a lot of it, and we can't really find anything new in the Bible because the Bible hasn't changed then, now, and it never will.
Amen.
So, my topic that I chose to go over tonight is a simple phrase. And the phrase I chose was, "It takes one to know one." The saying itself simply means that for someone to acknowledge certain qualities or characteristics in someone else, they too must possess those personal qualities or characteristics. So to take one to know one, you have to have the same characteristics to understand what it takes to be whatever it is. The example I came up with was, I'm very into basketball. I'm into college basketball, NBA basketball, but more than any, I'm more into UK basketball. So if I was to get into a conversation with just some person that I'd never met, and the topic was to speak about Kentucky basketball, pretty soon, after speaking just for a little while, I would be able to tell if me and that person shared those qualities and characteristics, be able to know that if they too were just like me and were actually a UK fan. But you would know shortly if they were or they were not. Another example was I've started up a new hobby in hunting, and if the men of this congregation who do hunt was to have a conversation with me, they would find out really quick that I know little to nothing about it, even though I still try. But if I was to talk to someone who doesn't know anything, such as my brother, if he was to talk to me, he would think that maybe I knew everything there was to hunting because he doesn't have a basis, a background of knowledge of what it takes to have the qualities and characteristics of being a hunter. So tonight's lesson is going to be based on that phrase alone, but it's going to have just a little twist to it, and that is that to be a Christian, it takes a Christian. The lesson will begin with the scripture reading. Even though Jeremy just read it, I figured I could just briefly read it real quick one more time. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life, and then I will be able to boast in the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. So Paul tells us here that it's important to be a Christian in our personal lives, even in the absence of Christians, be a Christian just out in the world, and that we are to work for the Lord, and we are to be a light in an immoral world. And lastly, he states that we will be able to rejoice in the day of Christ. So, it takes a Christian to be a Christian. So, more importantly, we have to know how to be a Christian. The first question that comes to mind is to become a Christian is, what are the qualities and characteristics that make up a Christian? There are many things that come to mind about being a Christian. Christ taught these and many more. Prayer, Luke 6:12. One of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. And another thing that Jesus has taught is forgiveness, Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men of their sins, your Father will not forgive you of your sins. We are also taught by Christ to treat others with respect. Luke 6:31, treat others the same way you want them to treat you. He has taught us to overcome temptation. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 through 10. Again, the devil took him on a very high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world and all their splendor. This is where Jesus was led out to the wilderness by the Spirit, and he had fasted for 40 days, and he had previously been tempted to cease to the devil and do his will. And this is the end of that story. And verse 9 reads, all of this, the devil says to Jesus, I will give to you. He said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Along with these teachings that I have scripture references for, we are taught many other things by Christ that we are to do in order to be a Christian. These things include, but are not limited to, learn the Word of God, tell others about Jesus, give thanks for the blessings that we have in our lives, big and small, and to help out others. In order to be a Christian, we have to know these things. We have to know what it takes to be a Christian. Christianity had to have an origin. It had to have a beginning. And the basis of Christianity is obviously Christ. He is our example. So it took a Christian, Christ Jesus, for everyone else to ever be a Christian. No one else could have ever been a Christian if it had not been for Christ. So for us to know Christ, He is our example of what a quality characteristic is in being a Christian. So, to be a Christian, we had a Christian example to follow to give us the knowledge and qualities of what it takes to be a Christian. So once we had our example and we knew what a Christian was, we have to know what it takes to become one. We all know that God has a plan for us. We all know that God has a plan that we need to follow. And here we call it the plan of salvation, and it has 5 steps that most of us here obviously know, but maybe a few here don't. And there's a 6th step, but it's will be discussed here shortly. The first step in the plan of salvation that we are supposed to adhere to is hear. And this means that we are to hear the Word of God. We are to be exposed to it. For the most part, most of us here were lucky enough that we had parents and family members who brought us up as children who exposed us to church and the Word of God. However, there are many, if not the majority, for sure the majority of the world that was not lucky enough to have that. So it is a duty of ours that we need to get out and show the Word to the non-believers. For here, Romans 12:17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. The second would be to believe. Believes is in sequence right behind here, but in my opinion, I believe that believing and hearing can be miles apart, because just because someone hears it and they don't have any objection to hearing the Word of God, they don't have any objection, they're not going to say that, you know, I don't believe it, or I, you know, do believe it. It takes a lot of belief to actually adhere to the Word of God and truly seek out and wholeheartedly believe and want to pursue being a Christian. Hebrews 11:6 reads, and without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And the third on how to become a Christian would be repentance. Repentance is an act that a Christian must do, which was to turn away from sin. You must evaluate your life and realize that the things you are doing don't adhere to what the Bible says. So you must turn away and change your life. Acts 17:30 reads, in the past God overlooked such ignorance, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent. And the fourth is confess. Confessing does not just simply mean a one-time thing. It doesn't mean that you need to stand before the church and just one time say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's very important. That has to happen. You have to do that. But it's not a one-time thing. And once you've confessed that, throughout your entire life, you have to confess that Jesus is the Son of God through your conversations with other people, through your actions. Confession has to be an apparent thing, because you cannot deny Christ at any point. No Christian will ever deny Christ. 1 John 4:15 says, if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And the last step is to be baptized. And the verse I used for this was Acts 2:38. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oftentimes, a lot of people like to see this part of becoming a Christian as an option, but that can't be the case, because in Acts, Ananias is told by Jesus himself to go visit Paul and tell him what he must do. And Jesus specifically tells Ananias that he has to go put his hands on Paul and Paul has to be baptized in order to be saved. So if Jesus himself said to someone, go tell this man what he must do to be saved, and baptism was mentioned, I don't see how anyone can deny that baptism is not essential. The last one of the steps of salvation is to live faithfully. And living faithfully just means to continue living in the light of the Lord. It's essential to understand and follow these steps. Once followed, they don't become marked off a checklist, just completed. These steps aren't done away with once we obey them. We know what it takes to become a Christian. If we have followed these steps, it is now our duty as servants to go out and give this list to the people who have not followed Christ and the non-believers so that they can obey them too. So, now that we know what to do to become one and what it takes to be one, how can we make one into many? Verse 15 of tonight's scripture reading, which Jeremy read and I read twice, talks about how we are to let our Christian light shine in a crooked and perverse world. So the question is, who does our lights shine for? And the answer to that is actually a two-part answer. First part is God. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So our lights are shining so that our Father in heaven may be glorified. And secondly, our lights are shining for those who are in darkness. Luke 1:79 says, to shine on those living in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into a path of peace. Those in darkness are in the shadow of death or eternal death. We as Christians must shine our lights into the darkness so that they too may walk in the light and have a chance at eternal salvation. We know how a Christian should act and how to become one, and that we should seek and save the lost. So, as a Christian, we can't keep it to ourselves. It is not ours to possess. These scriptures never once say that we can own this. We can't own Christianity. It's not ours to hide or keep away from others in the world. It's for us to go out and spread, just as Jesus had asked us to do. Being a follower of God is part of it. We have to work. We are called to work. He demands that we work. Matthew 28, verse 19 through 20 says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and the teaching of them to obey everything I have commanded, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This light we are made as Christians isn't just to be burnt. It's not something that's just going to sit there and just stand alone or anything like that. It's something that is meant to spread and ignite other flames, other lights, so that those two can be brought from the darkness and into the light. There's reasons that we have that. That's because the lost can only hear if the word is presented to them. The lost can only believe if they are told how and why to believe. The lost can only repent if they are told why they are immoral. The lost can only confess if they understand and believe Jesus. The lost can only be baptized if they accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The lost can only do this if it is shown to them. How else can this be done other than from us as our servant duty? We must get out of our comfort zones and expose this to them and open their eyes so that they too can have a chance for an eternity in heaven. Sometimes we all fall guilty, but we must realize it takes more than 4 hours of worship a week to be a Christian. Letting our light shine while we are inside these four walls is simply letting a light shine in a well-lit room. We must leave here and stand out in an immoral world. Our light should be noticeable. It is easy to be a Christian at church, but our biggest test is being a Christian example when it's not popular or an accepted thing. And earlier tonight I stated that I was a UK basketball fan. I thought I would end with this. For those who know about the team, it is speculated that they are one of the best teams ever assembled. Many believe that they have the best chance in 30 years to go undefeated, to never lose a game. Statisticians have calculated that they have a whopping 2% chance to win every game without a single defeat to be perfect. Those players have obeyed and listened to their coach and are willing to do whatever it takes to achieve this goal, and yet only a 2% chance of success. Our coach, our example, as Christians, has given us his game plan and made it clear to us. If we follow and obey what has been asked of us, we have a better than a 2% chance. We have a 100% chance for success. We will be victorious if we live our life in the light of the Lord. It takes a Christian to be a Christian. Christ was our example. Once we follow, we too must be an example. I close tonight saying, if you have already joined Christ's team, our work isn't done. We must seek and save the lost and let our lights shine before men. And if you know what it takes, but you have never made the commitment to join his team, do so now, so that we may, as Paul said, rejoice in the day of Christ. Connor, as we stand and sing.